We don't think that we're being influenced by the world. But man, we're being influenced. It just creeps in subtly. And it takes over. And before we know it, we find ourselves doing the same things that the world does. And when we do that, we have lost the influence. We have lost our Savior.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today as we continue in Psalms with the first half of If the Foundations Be Destroyed, What Can the Righteous Do? Part 2 from Psalm chapter 11. So if you have your Bible, please open it to Psalm chapter 11. And let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of If the Foundations Be Destroyed, What Can the Righteous Do? Part 2.
Psalm 11 in verse 3, and this is part 2. The psalmist asked the question, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Man, I asked the question last week. Let's see how many of us can get it right this week without hesitation or without waiting for your pastor to raise his hand. How many people here this morning are righteous? There you go. Maybe not everybody's hand didn't go up. But I see, we had a little better response than we did last week. All right, so some of you might not be righteous if you didn't raise your hand. All right, well, at least you don't think you're righteous. So we thank God that our righteousness is not based upon what we do, but it is based upon what he has done. And so Jesus Christ truly is the righteous. So the question is asked, if the foundations are destroyed, let me turn this thing around now. If the foundations are destroyed, what can you do? That's what we want to put it at today. That's what we want to put it at today. If the foundations are destroyed, what can you do? And last week, we went to some extended length to show you how the foundations are being destroyed. We talked about the foundation being destroyed in government. Homosexual marriage is now being recognized. Sexual immorality in leaders, the foundation is being destroyed. We talked about how the foundation in society is being destroyed. Crime is on the rise. Juvenile violent crime is up. Abortion is rampant. Teen suicide, drug use, high school. Thank God for the young people that graduated today, because high school dropouts abound in our society today. Young people have a low value of life. They don't think anything of going and taking the life of another person. And also, we see that there's a poor work ethic that's here in our society today. The foundations are being destroyed. The foundations in the home are being destroyed. We have teen pregnancy. We have child abuse. We have the divorce rate that's up. We have adultery. We have incest. Even in the home, the foundation is being destroyed. And then we gave some indication further as to this destroyed foundation, and least of all, what we would think is the church. The foundation is being destroyed. The Episcopal Church ordaining gay ministers. The Presbyterian Church honoring gay marriages. The Catholic Church, the priests abusing the young men. And the Baptist Church and all the sin that we see in the Baptist Church with fornication and every other kind of sin that's mentioned. So we see that the foundation is destroyed. Now, what can the righteous do? We gave you three things last week, and we said, first of all, you can keep trusting the Lord. Keep trusting the Lord. If the foundations are destroyed, you look around, you see a crumbling foundation all around you. One thing that you don't stop doing is you don't stop trusting God. Lord, I don't understand. All I see is devastation all around. All I see is a destroyed foundation, but God, I'm going to keep on trusting you. The second thing we said is to keep on obeying his word. Keep obeying the word, because the word is true and the word is right. And then we said, keep letting your voice be heard. And I want to amplify on that point this morning. And I'm going to ask that you would turn to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13, and we'll pick the message up from there. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13. And I know it's hot this morning, but keep in mind As I always say, there's somewhere that's hotter than this. And I'm glad I'm not going there. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13. If the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Matthew chapter 5 is the, in 5 through 7 is what's known as the Sermon on the Mount. And in verse 13, Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, with what shall it be salted? It is thereafter good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men." The salt. If the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? You can keep on being salty. Amen. You know, I'm not talking, when I was growing up, we said, man, that guy was kind of salty. You know, that meant that he was upset or he was angry about something. We want Christians to be salty, but not in that sense. We want you to be salty because, you see, one thing that we need to realize is that the world has a great influence. And it seems like the influence of Christians is becoming less and less. Man, I need to grip your heart this morning now, saints, because we are losing our influence. We are losing. Jesus said, if the salt, you are the salt. You are salt. Jesus told the disciples, you are the salt of the earth. And if the salt has lost its savor, what is it good for? Man, we are it. We know that God is all powerful. We know that God sits in the heavens and reigns. But you know what? As far as this earth is concerned, as far as what God is looking for as a righteous seed, you are it. And if you're not being salty, you can be guaranteed that nobody else is. If you have lost your savor, you as an individual, if you have lost your savor, what's left? What's left? I know that God sits in the heaven. I know he's all powerful. I know that his program goes on. But if you have lost your savor, what's left? You see, the world has a great influence. And the world's program is being promoted left and right. I mean, the world's program is taking over. There was a market researcher who was doing interviews, and he was stopping people coming out of the store, and he was especially looking for people who had bought beer. And he saw one guy coming out of the store with some Miller Lite, and he asked him, "Sir, let me ask you a couple of questions about your choice beer." And the man said, "I'd be very happy to answer those questions." He said, "Fine." He said, "Did you feel that your beer of choice, light beer, has been at all influenced by an advertising program?" The man looked shocked, and he said, "I'm not influenced by that sort of thing at all." And then he said, "Well, can you tell me, why did you choose Miller Lite?" He said, "I chose Miller Lite because it tastes great and is less filling." Influence. We don't think that we're being influenced by the world, but man, we're being influenced. It just creeps in subtly, and it takes over, and before we know it, we find ourselves doing the same things that the world does. And when we do that, we have lost the influence. We have lost our Savior. See, we as Christians need to realize that we have a voice, and that we can make a difference, whether it be in the government, whether it's in the local government, the national government, in your home, in your church, in your community, you can make a difference. I was listening to a program this last week, and they were talking how that Ed Sullivan, when he had his show, had invited Mick Jagger and the Rolling Stones on his show to sing a song. And their current hit at the time, because you know when Ed Sullivan had people come, he wanted them to sing whatever their current hit was. So the Rolling Stones at that time, their current hit was, "Let's Spend the Night Together." That was the hit that they had. And Ed Sullivan, and I invited him on the show, but he said, "If you're going to come, you can't sing the song like that." And they said, "Well, that's the hit. That's the way everybody knows it." He said, "But you can't sing. That's not acceptable for you to come on the Ed Sullivan show and sing 'Let's Spend the Night Together.'" And Mick Jagger said, "Well, we're not going to change it." And Ed Sullivan said, "Well, you're not going to come on my show." And so I guess they talked a little bit further, and Ed Sullivan invited them on the show. And when they came on the show, they sang, "Let's Spend Some Time Together." You see, look at how the influence has shifted. There was a time when talking about spending the night together on a family program, that it was unheard of. And Ed Sullivan, I don't know if he was a Christian or not, but you know what? He was salty. And he wasn't going to be diluted down. He wasn't going to be watered down. He wasn't going to let the popular opinion of what people wanted to hear affect what he presented from his show. But you see, today, that's not even an issue anymore. They're not only spending, not talking about, not spending the night together or spending the night together, but doing a little bit of something else too. So, I mean, look at how society has changed. And why is it? Why is it? I'm going to tell you why. Because once again, I don't know if he was a Christian or not. And that's not my objective to debate that today. But less people like Ed Sullivan are in control. Less people like Ed Sullivan have a voice. And so therefore, the ones who are promoting the devil's program are the ones whose voice that we hear. You can make a difference. You know, I was listening to, and when I come to church on Sunday morning, the only time, now once again, I hope I don't offend anybody. I know as I stand here, people, the only time I listen to Whammo is on Sunday morning. That's the only time. Sunday morning gospel on my way to church. And Vicki Hill plays some wonderful gospel songs, Christian songs. And you know what? They took her off the air. Took her off the air. I don't know. But there might be people who work for Sheridan Broadcast. So I got to be careful. But one of the only programs that I enjoyed on that station, they took off the air. And you know what people started doing? They started calling in. "Hey, we want the Sunday morning gospel back. Hey, we want the Sunday morning gospel back on the air." And you know what? Pastor Glaze rode this morning to church listening to Sunday morning gospel. See, we need to realize that we can make a difference. The problem is that we think that we don't have the ability to make a difference. But God said, Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth, and if the salt has lost the savor, then what are you good for?" The world has realized one thing. Now you think about this real strong, what I'm getting ready to say. The world has realized one thing, that if they could change a person's values, motivations, goals, and lifestyles, that they're going to affect the culture. They realize that. If they could change people's values. So every day that we get up, guess what is happening? Your values are being chipped away at. Your values are being corroded. The foundation is being weakened. And if they could begin to weaken, man, good night. If the church and the people of the church allow their foundation to be weakened, what can we expect? What can we expect? The foundations are destroyed. And the sad thing is that many Christians are still in the salt shaker. That's the problem. Get on out of that salt shaker. Spill out on somebody. Get out there and make a little influence in the world. See, we not only are still in the salt shaker, but we don't let the devil pour pepper in the salt shaker. So even if we want to shake out, we got Christian mixed in with the world. And so we've lost that saltiness. Man, I pray to God that we would maintain that salty character. As Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth." Well, let me share with you real quick, then I'm going to be done this morning. Fourth, what does salt do? What does salt do? If you have your notes, you can follow along with us. What does salt do? Well, we see salt does four things. Salt cleanses, salt conserves, salt complements, and salt cures. Let's look at that this morning. Now just think about this for 1 minute. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth." What did Jesus mean by that statement? Why would he even make a statement like that? I think that as we go back and study the background of salt during the time of Jesus, we can see exactly what Jesus meant. And I hope today it would prick our hearts and that we would be
lining up with each one of these principles that salt does, and realize that this is what Jesus meant. He didn't pull any punches. He didn't try to camouflage it. He told them, you are the salt of the earth. Man, you know, I've had situations where people said, look, man, this is all that's left right here. This is it. If we don't get it done with this, it's not going to get done. You know what? If we don't get it done with y'all, it's not going to get done. Now, once again, I know that God is all powerful. I understand all that. But Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. The first thing we see that salt does is that salt cleanses. Salt has been used to cleanse the impurity in wounds. You can take salt sometimes and rub it on a little bit of salt, and it'll purify. It'll cleanse. And so Jesus, I believe, had in mind that the whole purification or the whole cleansing idea, that here you are the you are the cleansing agent in the earth. If this earth is going to be cleansed, it's up to you. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. So you got to say, if it's to be, it's up to me. I mean, that's got to be your attitude. If it's to be, it's up to me. Now, once again, I'm not divorcing God out of the situation. I'm just saying that we need to get a little different mentality here. See, we got the mentality that we can cruise along and float along, but we need to realize that if there's a change that's going to be made, amen. Amen. Look at this passage here. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. In verse 9, know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Now look at this list of sinners. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. That's homosexuals. Neither thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now that's a rough list of customers. Wouldn't you agree? That's a rough list. And then if you throw in there gossipers, that might put most of us in there too. So we'd be in there. We get on that list too. All right, because sometimes we identify major sins, but we think that our sins are all right. No, sin is sin. But look at this. Can you imagine? Just for a minute. We're in a room. All right, just for 1 minute. We're in a room with fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of mankind, thieves, covet, drunkards, revilers. Just imagine, we're in a room full of folks like that. That's a pretty rough situation, wouldn't you agree? But look at this. And such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. What was he saying? That whole room was a room filled with sinners. But guess what happened? Somebody with a little salt came in and sprinkled. And what happened? All of them got cleansed. All of them got cleansed. He says, such were some of you. But now you are cleansed, you are washed. And see, we need to realize that salt cleanses. And Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. That it's up to you. If the earth is going to be cleansed, that it's up to you. You are the salt of the earth. John Newton was born to a Christian mother. He dreamed. His mother dreamed one day that he would be this great preacher. But his mother died when he was young. And Newton was raised by his father. His father was a sailor. And so Newton was raised on ships. But he didn't want that lifestyle. He didn't want the discipline of being a sailor. So he just went somewhere where he could live, and if I could use this expression, a life of hell. I mean, he just wanted to follow the devil, and he just wanted to do the things that Satan had called him to do. And so here John Newton was just living this life. But that wore out because he wasn't able to make money like he wanted to. And so he got a job in Africa on a slave trip where they transferred slaves to different areas of the world. And Newton was so sinful and he was so rotten that the sailors on the boat hated him. One day he got drunk and he fell off the boat, and they hated him so much that they took a harpoon and they speared him in his leg and they pulled him back on the boat. That's how much they hated him. Newton was a wicked individual. He was terrible. One day Newton was reading a book called The Imitation of Christ. And the scripture in there out of Romans spoke to his heart. And not at that particular time, but later on, he gave his life to Christ. And he got on fire for the Lord. And he became a pastor. And not only that, but he became a songwriter. And one day he sat down and he wrote this song. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Oh, did Newton know something about the cleansing agency in salt? He knew that the salt could purify his life, that the salt could clean him up. And Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. That how many people are in the kingdom because of you? If the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Man, we can get out here and tell other folks about Jesus. Man, we can get out here and let somebody know that there's a Savior who loves them and that died for them and wants to save them from their sin. Man, we got to get this message out. If we don't get it out, if we keep it in, then guess what? It's not going to get out. You are the salt of the earth. And so you got to get this message out. And you know one thing? If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? We can't get everybody, but we can get some. There's somebody out there that God has for us. We all heard the story about the guy that was walking along the seashore one day and all these starfish had washed up. And he was walking along, picking them up, throwing them back in. And somebody came and said, well, you can never throw all of them back in. And he reached down and picked one up and threw it back in and said, yeah, but there goes one that appreciates it right there. You see, we can't get them all. We can't get them all. But if the foundations are being destroyed, we got to get some of them. We got to get some of them. Man, there's folks sitting in this church right now. You were a part of the crumbling foundation. You were adding to the crumbling foundation. And somebody came and sprinkled a little salt on you, and you got right. Now, we need to go snatch some other folk. We need to shore up the foundation. This thing is serious, y'all. I don't know if you know that. This thing is serious. You just keep on doing nothing and see what happens 5-10 years from now. Ed Sullivan wouldn't let him sing on his show back in what, the 60s? Late 60s? Let's Spend the Night Together. He wouldn't let him sing the song on his show. Look what they sing on the shows today. The foundation is continuing to crumble. And you know what? It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. And unless we as God's people decide that we're going to do something, it's going to be destroyed and we're going to find ourselves. You know, think about it. You really, your freedoms, you know, there's going to be one day that Pastor Glaze, if things keep going the way that they are, that Pastor Glaze is going to be standing in the pulpit and I'm not going to be able to say anything. Now, once again, if you're a drunkard, you're wrong. If you're committing fornication, you're wrong. If you're committing adultery, you're wrong. If you're lying, you're wrong. If you're stealing, you're wrong. All right? But there's one day that I'm not going to be up and stand in the pulpit and say,
thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of If the Foundations Be Destroyed, What Can the Righteous Do? Part 2. From Psalm chapter 11. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, If the Foundations Be Destroyed, What Can the Righteous Do? Part 2, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request If the Foundations Be Destroyed, What Can the Righteous Do? Part 2. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request If the Foundations Be Destroyed, What Can the Righteous Do? Part 2. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, Visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.